It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jesse Waters along with Judge Jeanine Pirro, Harold Ford Jr., Kaylee McEnany, and Greg Gutfeld. It's 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is The 5. Police revealing brand new details surrounding a horrific mass shooting in Highland Park, Illinois, during a 4th of July parade. The act of pure evil, leaving 7 people dead and injuring 30 more. Authorities say just minutes ago, the suspect had 2 prior run-ins with law enforcement.
In April of 2019, an individual contacted Highland Park Police Department a week after learning of Mr. Cremo attempting suicide. The matter was being handled by mental health professionals at that time. The second occurred in September of 2019. A family member reported that Cremo said he was going to kill everyone and Cremo had a collection of knives. The police responded to his residence. The police removed 16 knives, a dagger, and a sword from Cremo's home. There were a combination of which, I don't have the exact count, at least 2 rifles, some pistols and possibly a shotgun. Those were seized at his father's home pursuant to a search warrant yesterday.
Authorities also saying 21-year-old Robert Cremo was disguised as a woman to escape the scene and had planned the attack for weeks in advance. We're learning he left warning signs online that nobody caught, including posting very disturbing images and videos. Unfortunately, the carnage in America over the weekend doesn't end there. 30 minutes south of the Highland Park attack, 68 people were shot in Chicago. And 2 police officers were shot during a Philadelphia 4th of July fireworks show. Thankfully, they're going to be okay. Democratic politicians wasting no time to go directly after guns.
Each day, we're reminded there's nothing guaranteed about our democracy. Nothing guaranteed about our way of life. We have to fight for it, defend it, and earn it by voting.
Our founders carried muskets, not assault weapons. And I don't think a single one of them would have said that you have a constitutional right to an assault weapon with a high-capacity magazine.
Let's ask the question of why enraged people in other civilized nations in our world are committing these crimes. We know that this is a unique American issue, and that's right. Why we need to take necessary steps. We need to have a much stronger conversation about why these weapons of war are still permitted in our society.
So, Judge, what happened with this freak, Cremo? They seized his weapons, yet he's still unleashes hell on this parade.
You know, in the beginning, and I have my notes, he was not known to the police. That's what they told us. But we know that there generally is some crumb, something that indicates there's a problem. Now, we just find out there were 17 knives that the police seized from his home after he threatened to kill everybody. There were apparently domestic violence calls to his homes. Quote, the police were there all the time. There were always police cars at the house. Parents are arguing and fighting all the time. Now, is that enough? No. But if you threaten to kill someone and you're a loner and you've got 19 knives or 17 and the police come and say there's no grounds to arrest you, well, I would take that cop on any day of the week. To me, that is enough to make an arrest. And what we also know is he attempted suicide. He's got mental health issues. And I haven't even touched the social media yet. Now, if this is a small town, is this a small town? Okay, the local cops
should... Suburb of Chicago.
It's a suburb. So the local cops should know what's going on. Apparently, the mayor said something like... maybe it wasn't the mayor, but they had to call the parents to pick this kid up from school. It's like he didn't have any family around him. This kid, once you isolate everything around him, you have to know that this kid is going to do something wrong. Whether or not you would know he was going to take down, you know, people at a parade, it's disgusting. It's sad. I don't even want to go on talking about recognizing the horrible pain that this town is in and the post-traumatic stress syndrome that these people will have as a result of this. But let's be clear about one thing. When we find people with knives and guns, we arrest them. We keep them in jail. We prosecute them and we convict them. When we start recognizing that there's consequences that have to be imposed before you start going after the Second Amendment, maybe then we can have a legitimate conversation.
Yeah, so if this guy's homicidal, suicidal, he's armed to the teeth, he's got disturbing social media footprints, and he has facial tattoos, why can't you throw this kid in a straitjacket?
You have a, first of all, belated happy 4th, everybody.
Oh, I love
you too.
You are, you have a big problem with facial tattoos.
I do.
And that should maybe be someone we arrest or people we arrest everywhere. A couple things. One, I think at some point, we, everyone around this table and around the country, has to sort of wrestle with how do we want to recalibrate the way we think about police fighting, law enforcement, our laws on the books, be it the shootings in Chicago or the shooting in Highland Park. At some level, we have to sit back and understand that you can't go to a concert or a parade or to church or to school or to stand out on your corner. Or for that matter, can you imagine what we're going to do here in New York? I was riding in and the driver, bless his heart, he cut off a guy. I don't think he realized he cut the guy off. And the guy was honking his horn. And all I could think was, if this guy had a gun, he might fire at us or fire in the car. So we've got to think long and hard about all of this. I try to tell my party on energy that we should be different. We've got to rescind our position on the Keystone Pipeline and reverse it. We've got to drill more. Why do I say this? Not because I don't want to have a green energy platform in the country, but because we are at war in Ukraine and the Russians have an upper hand. The same way Europe depends so heavily on oil and energy products from Russia, we in America depend on semiconductor chips and other technology from Asia. One of the reasons I say we have to invest in Congress, please pass the CHIPS Act, Democrats and Republicans alike. Look back at guns and where we are. We have a public safety challenge. Now, I'm not saying guns is the total answer, but one of the jobs, principal roles of the legislature anywhere in the country, and for that matter, the federal legislature, is when a problem presents itself, everyone's got to not retreat to their little corners and have to hold their little sacred positions on things that, frankly, sound good on a piece of paper, sound good in a soundbite, but we have a problem. Now, I'm not saying removing guns is all of the answer, but something, the tattooed guy, the tattooed face guys, these kids, these guys are 21 and younger. Most of them are kids who come from some households that everything may not be in place. And here's what we should do also. If we're going to arrest the tattoo guy, we shouldn't let him buy a gun because they've proven not to be responsible with guns. And this is not an attack on the Second Amendment. This is an attack on people who are trying to kill people.
How do we identify that person?
That's where we ought to spend our money and our time. Yeah. And but loosely talking about mental health is not the issue here. Right. We know who the profile of these kinds of kids. And we ought to spend a lot of time and effort and money to ensure that they don't get guns.
Yeah, but it looks like the officials in Illinois blew it, didn't they?
They did. I agree with Harold in part. I agree about the importance of dialogue and not talking points. You look at France, which has very onerous laws when it comes to guns. Charlie Hebdo shooting, illegal weapon. Paris attack, which killed 129, illegal weapon. Talal shooting, which almost happened on a train, which was thwarted, illegal weapon. If you're sensing a trend, you should. Also very rare, we have reporters asking the right questions. That was an example of reporters asking the right questions. How many times did they ask, why didn't you involuntarily confine this guy? We heard, well, it's situational. That's not enough. If I'm the legislature right now in the state of Illinois, I'm looking at the laws for involuntary confinement when you have someone who articulates their plan specifically in advance. We saw this in Michigan with the school shooting, where the kid literally drew on a piece of paper what he was about to do that morning. We saw it in Uvalde, where the individual texted someone and said, I want to shoot up an elementary school. They always articulate their threat 60% of the time, as I never cite the New York Times, but I will in this case, 60% of the time. So we need to figure out what we do when someone articulates a threat, because letting them just have free rein is simply not the answer.
Greg Gutfeld.
Yeah, I think that when every one of these cases, these fiends fit a type. Mm-hmm. They're these very white, unstable, disturbing looking people. And I really do feel that, you know, you can judge a book by its cover. In some cases, you can. I think there's a correlation between disturbing, unstable behavior and people who deliberately try to make themselves look unappealing and unapproachable. That could be their cry for help. I mean, if you look at Antifa, I mean, that's how they look. So I think that, like, there is a red flag there that a lot of people in the name of what will not point out and go, when somebody is deliberately trying to deface themselves permanently or look in a way that makes them unapproachable, what are they trying to tell you? If beauty is a guide of what's possible, then what is deliberate ugliness? Like, why does somebody do that? We don't ask that anymore as people continue to deface themselves in so many different ways. Again, I'm going to be an old, an old saw on this. It wasn't suicide, it was suicide plus. The only reason why you do that is to create a spectacle for attention. So I think this one is a pretty square case of a copycat because it happened on the heels of these other ones. So what's the point there? If there are enough mass shootings to see these trends, to see that they're mostly young white males, not all of them, but they're rare enough that you can look at each one of them. So if you take them away from gang shootings, from domestics, or any kind of gun use in the purpose of a crime, just look at people shooting for the sake of shooting. It's always influenced by the previous attack. So if you thought that you could, decrease these attacks by 30%, 40%, 50%, why wouldn't you do it? Why wouldn't you do it? The media could do that. We could just report the facts, be one and done, and leave instead of giving just nonstop coverage. The media, remember, they can decide not to cover something. Hunter's laptop, they were easy with that. Border chaos, they don't cover that. The riots after George Floyd's, mostly peaceful, they didn't cover that. Look at the Akron shooting, right? They said that they covered the 60 shots from the police, but not the fact that the guy shot first. So they know how to not cover things. So I think it's time that we look at this stuff and decide enough's enough. If we, the press, can decrease these shootings by 30%, why the hell don't we?
You're right. And I think we all need to be better at criminally profiling people.
I'm criminally profiling you.
You should.
Right.
You should, because yeah. I stole your lunch.
That's right.
Up next, Hollywood celebs and Joe Biden turning July 4th into an America Bash Fest.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com.
Galveston, oh Galveston, I still hear your sea waves crashing.
President Biden and ungrateful Hollywood liberals bashing America on the 4th of July, lashing out over the recent Supreme Court ruling on abortion.
Liberty is under assault both here and abroad. In recent days, there's been reason to think that this country is moving backward, that freedom is being reduced, that rights we assume were protected are no longer.
Hollywood celebs following Biden's lead. Barbara Streisand claims our Democratic Republic remains in danger because of former President Trump. Jessica Chastain using July 4th to flash her middle fingers. Classy. And Katy Perry getting mocked after tweeting, quote, "Baby, you're a firework" is a 10, but women in the U.S. have fewer rights than an actual sparkler. Okay, Harold. You know, if these people are so unhappy here, why are they here?
Well, I don't want to speak for them. I imagine if they wanted
to
leave, most of them are wealthy enough they could do whatever they want. But I tell you, I step back and look, I don't express myself that way. I think yesterday, Jesse and I think I texted with about everybody around the table, with the exception of Kaylee, saying, look, this is the day to pause and celebrate the brilliance and courage of our founders. We should all recognize that they were brilliant. They were not perfect. And when we accept that, we realize that the challenge they gave us is to make the union more perfect. So as I listen to them, you know, I wouldn't have done it quite that way. But you think about the backdrop. 25% of America approves of the Supreme Court. Judge, you know, that really means that's a moniker. And Kaylee, you know as well, that's a moniker for the rule of law. And when the country does not respect the final arbiter of that at the level that it should, that number's never been that low in my life. 38% of Americans, I think I might have seen you guys on your show, Kaylee, talk about this as well. 38% of Americans want to celebrate, they want to be patriotic and want to celebrate the 4th of July. Something is wrong, and what I view that is a distress signal that the country's sending out to leaders in every sphere, politics, business, media, to your point, Greg. Everyone's a leader. If you're a parent, you're a leader. If you're a manager in your company, your own company or another company, you're a leader. And everyone has to accept some responsibility. credibility as we think about these things. And again, people can express themselves the way they want. We have a First Amendment, and they should do that. But at the end of the day, we all have to be better leaders if we want the country to be better and more perfect.
You know, Jesse, the whole idea of the Hollywood elite saying that they hate America and they don't respect America. I mean, part of that, I think, is that 88% of the people in this country think that the country is headed in the wrong direction. Can they separate the two?
No. You know how big on etiquette I am, Judge. I was raised properly. And so I see July 4th as a birthday party. And you don't go to someone's birthday party and attack them. You don't give them double middle fingers as they're blowing out the candles. If you want to say something, say it on the way home, all right? But not in front of their face like that. I don't even know who she is. I see her always saying liberal things. I've never watched anything she's been in. Is she even a celebrity? I don't even think she qualifies. She's rude, and I think her parents are disappointed in her. And I used that line on my children this weekend, and I got to tell you, that line works. Being disappointed in someone is very effective, and she knows how disappointed I am in her. The other countries throughout the world, when they celebrate their independence or their big days like we do, do you think they're trashing their own country?
No.
Do you think the French on their big day are like running down Napoleon, or the Mexicans are in the streets saying, oh, we're run by cartels, this place stinks? No, they're being proud Mexicans or French people, as proud as you can be. Now, Biden says, you know, that we're going backwards. Now, I don't like when Democrats are constantly saying we're moving backwards. Every time the Democrats change anything, they consider it progress. But it's not progress. The Democrats, to make an analogy, would maybe put all of the dining room chairs on the dining room table and want to eat like that. Well, that's not progress.
I don't eat like
that. So when the Republicans know, say, we're moving the chairs down to the floor, that's not going backwards. That's just making things normal because people eat at a kitchen table. This abortion thing's really not playing. I saw a poll. I think it was Monmouth. Yeah. It's like dead last.
Yes,
people
it is.
Are out of touch with this.
Yeah, and Kaylee, wouldn't it make more sense for these people who are so, you know, down on the United States and the 4th of July and the birth of this country, wouldn't it make sense for them to come out and say, you know what, I'm going to fight to pass a law or do something to give them some street cred as it relates to politics?
Yes, no doubt about it. I mean, I woke up on the 4th of July and my first thought was, I'm the most blessed person in the world to live in the greatest country on planet Earth. What kind of maniac wakes up and says, I'm not celebrating this day? I mean, things have not gone my way in this country. I was born into a world of Roe v. Wade. I hated it. I thought it was the greatest scourge of our nation and for years have been committed to the pro-life movement. Presidency of Barack Obama, presidency of the aging and decrepit Joe Biden. Those didn't go my way, but it didn't make me less patriotic. So why have we gotten to a place in society where people are like, I hate this country because I don't get my way and I'm going to kick and scream like a four-year-old? It's because the guy at the top is setting the tone. You don't go to a birthday party, to your point, and say, liberty's under assault, freedom's reduced, this is how I feel about the country.
Wrap it up, Greg.
I will wrap it up, Judge. I'll do a little rap.
Please don't.
No. I don't think it's about the celebrities as it is about competition. And I think, you know, right now we're living this era of identity politics, which is based on immutable traits, right? Only a black woman can understand a black woman. Only a gay man can understand a gay man. Patriotism just blows that out of the water. It's about shared values. It's not about immutable traits. It's about, you know, we're Americans. You may be black, I may be white, but we can agree that this cheeseburger tastes awesome, even though we're from different backgrounds. That's what patriotism is. And that is something that identity politics has been fighting against since it, yeah. I guess it came out of the thing. So that's why it is so hated. I would like to see this grift become more exposed and that people can understand that, like, we're patriot. We've already marginalized religion, and now we're marginalizing patriotism. So what are you going to put in its place? If you put in its place identity politics, all that is conflict. It's just people versus people. I can't talk to you. You can't talk to me. That's just going to end in violence.
Yeah.
The whole point of patriotism is for people who are different to get to be part of the melting pot. That's all it is. Sounds ideal, but that's what it is. But I think that's the problem right now is like if you're the woke mentality finds this as the greatest enemy it's ever faced, patriotism.
Yeah, they prefer tribalism. Mm-hmm. Coming up, Biden's border crisis getting so out of hand that Texas is being forced to call it an invasion.
Texas border county officials struggling to contain a surge of migrants, now declaring the crisis at the border as a quote-unquote invasion. That move could force the Biden administration to act or set the table to let states deport migrants on their own. And a new study from the UN has labeled the border crossing between the U.S. and Mexico as the deadliest migration land route in the world. But despite all the negative headlines, the Department of Homeland Security chief thinks things are going well.
I think that we are doing a good job. We need to do better. We are focused on doing more, and we are doing it with our partners to the south.
Kayla, as you listen to that, what would, if you were advising him and you've advised the president, what should the policy be? Put aside, I mean, the optics, they seem to fumble every once in a while, but what should the plan be, the three or four things you would be advising this Homeland Security chief to do?
Title 42 needs to come back. There is still an ongoing health emergency, and you can use that. Remain in Mexico should be in place. Apply for asylum, but do it for Mexico. If you look at the numbers that have been expelled with these two policies, they're significant. It would change the course of what's happening at the border. And that study you cited about the deadliest path for immigration being Mexico to the United States, the author of that study said the numbers increased in 2021, significantly more than any year prior, roughly doubled. Well, what happened in 2021? The unraveling of the very policies I just cited to you. Get the border under control. You do it, maybe it'll help you with the midterms.
Jesse?
Well, I mean, this is like Jimmy Carter saying he's doing a good job with the hostage crisis.
Right.
It's insane. I don't know. They've shattered the record of border crossings. Do they understand what a good job means? Unless the point is to bring as many people as possible illegally into this country, then yes, they're doing a very good job. If it's the deadliest land crossing in the entire world, why would you encourage hundreds of thousands of people to make that journey? That's like saying, hey, come to my castle, and my castle surrounded with the deadly moat of crocodiles. But if you get through the deadly moat of crocodiles, I'll give you free health care and free college tuition. You'd never do that. I mean, it'd make a great reality TV show, but you would never do that to someone else that you cared about. Obviously, he doesn't care about these people. They also said that they're fleeing Mayorkas, or whatever his name is. They're fleeing climate change and COVID. Now, when we send reporters to interview the border crossers at the border and they say, why are you here? Have you ever heard a border crosser saying it's hot in El Salvador?
No.
Or I'm fleeing COVID-19? No, they say Joe Biden. They say right. President Biden, asylum, they say those things. So that's just a total lie. I said this before. You got to put the factories from China, put them in northern Mexico. That will keep the migrants there, happy and employed and not surging north for jobs. Last thing. If Dana were here, I'd make fun of her and say, did you read the New York Times article about Salazar, the ambassador to Mexico? It was a leak campaign by the Biden White House trashing their own ambassador for not working well enough with the Mexicans. Now, this is Joe Biden, who's tailored his whole career on being this great diplomat. He's rallying this big unified collabo over in Europe, but he can't even get along with our southern neighbor. How hard is that? He's our neighbor. You should just be like, hey, Mexico, let's go. Have a drink. Let's straighten this out.
On the have a drink theme, Greg, would you think that this is something that that they should be doing differently, or would you echo the things we've heard?
I'm going to take a different tack today. I think this is a mess, and it's a dishonest mess. We need to overhaul the process, that's for sure. But I don't think at this point, after doing our B block and playing off of what Jesse said, we should be dissuading good, decent people from coming here. True, it may be just for a paycheck, but that's often just the start. We are talking about largely God-fearing, family-centric people who aren't afraid of a day's hard work. They are, in short, the complete and utter opposite of what's dripping out of our campuses like coagulated pimple juice. I don't even know where that came from, but I go back to the B block, right? All of those people bashing the United States, all those blue checkers, all those celebrities, I would be willing to bet all of them were born here. And I would take a million people from somewhere else who want to be here over 10,000 people that don't. When the judge said, why don't those people go back? She wasn't talking about immigrants. She was talking about Hollywood celebrities. And I'm with her. I mean, honestly, would a guy or a girl from Guatemala burn an American flag when they come here? No, they're happy to be here. Would a young Hispanic couple be OK with drag queens in kindergarten? Hell no. Right? They're Bible fearing. They'd be going, this is not appropriate. Would a Nigerian mom and dad join in on a riot in the name of social justice because they just moved here and they opened a business? I don't think so. These are Eisenhower Republicans and old school Democrats. I say bring them in, trade them for the worthless white wokesters that are destroying this country. That's my replacement theory.
Yeah, but you don't want to have them jump over deadly crocodiles, guys.
No, you don't. And I'm totally anti-deadly crocodiles.
Good.
Jesse,
that
I'll
is,
make
word
that
agreement.
Statement.
That is Mr.
Now.
Gutfeld's opening argument, Judge.
The only person who's destroying this country is Joe Biden. Joe Biden has made a decision that he wants 2 million, 4 million, 6 million illegal immigrants to enter this country. And the problem is, if you remember, 3 years ago, if we said there was a surge at the border, we were racist. Well, now it is a damn invasion, all right? And it's an invasion that the United Nations, of all people, says is the deadliest trip on earth, all right? The problem is not just what's happening to them on the way here. The problem is what is going on once they get here. The people who are coming here, and you know what? I'm not going to say they're good, bad, or indifferent. I don't know who the hell they are. I want to know what their record is. I want to know who's a drug dealer. I want to know who's a pedophile.
I want to know who's a drunk,
who wants to kill his wife. I want to know all this stuff. And it's not funny, Greg. The truth is, they are destroying this country.
Who is destroying this country?
Let me finish,
who?
Greg. In terms of what's coming into this country, the fentanyl that's coming in. You know what? The United States is
China.
Not controlling the border. The cartels are controlling the border, and the cartels are selling their fentanyl to the Mexican. China is selling fentanyl to the Mexican cartels. They're bringing in people. They have arteries all through this country. And whether or not you like immigrants or don't is not the question. The question before us is why we are allowing a generation between the ages of 18 and 45 to be killed by a drug war and an undeclared war by China toward the United States, where Mexico is making a fortune. That's the problem.
We will come back to this topic. But ahead, President Biden is beefing with Jeff Bezos and Big Oil after getting called out on his latest spin on surging gas prices.
President Biden getting called out over his latest attempt to deflect blame for surging gas prices, tweeting, quote, "My message to the companies running gas stations and setting prices at the pump is simple. This is a time of war and global peril. Bring down the price you are charging at the pump to reflect the cost you're paying for the product and do it now." Tough words. American energy producers hitting back. Please make sure the White House intern who posted this tweet registers for Econ 101 for the fall semester. And Jeff Bezos not having it either with this quote. "It's either straight ahead misdirection or a deep misunderstanding of basic market dynamics," says the guy whose company gave $1.7 million to President Biden.
You know, sometimes an economic theory, Kaylee, comes along and it just makes you think. I'm questioning capitalism all of a sudden. We can just tell companies to lower prices?
Right.
Oh, my God. I mean, I think this is going to be studied in business schools throughout the rest of the century. I mean, why doesn't Biden try this with electric cars? Why doesn't he try this with college tuition prices? This is an amazing theory. I love how he goes after the gas station owners. Like, because, you know, Greg, when you go into a gas station to buy Skittles and
Skittles.
You ask the guy behind the bulletproof plexiglass to borrow the key to the men's room. You say to yourself, I want to be like that guy, right? Like, how much money does that guy have, right? What do I need to do to be that guy, the guy that IDs high schoolers who try to buy 40s? No one says that. These profit margins are like this skinny. And how does Biden get away with thinking he's the man of the, or he's a working class guy?
Right.
How do the Democrats who fired pilots,
who fired Keystone Pipeline workers who have now gone after the guys that own a gas station that make less than six figures. How do they get away with that? And it stings that Bezos is going after him because Bezos isn't this like fat railroad tycoon that's like union busting. You know, this is a kind of a revolutionary thinker that's idolized by a lot of people in the country. And if you call the president an idiot and you're one of the second richest guys in the world that has a revolutionary product, people listen.
Yeah. Bezos, Biden, Edward Snowden said a little buyer's remorse.
Well, I think he's lost something like, isn't it something like $30 billion in the last couple of months, Bezos?
No, hasn't.
To the side. Yeah, I know. That's why I put all my money in gold. What's in your safe? Call me, William. There's a reason why gas stations have a little mini mart next door. It's not because they love to sell ding dongs. It's because that's the only way they make money.
Right.
It's razor thin margins. So they got to sell the cigarettes. They got to sell the beef jerky. That's where they make a killing, Kaylee, on the beef jerky. But, you know, obviously, when you see these tweets, you're trying to envision who wrote it. Somebody born in like 1998, 99. I don't know what they look like, but Biden is kind of the presidential version of a facade of an old Western, you know, when they'd have like the background scenes and then it turns out it's just plywood fronts. That's what he is. The elder statesman was supposed to make us feel comfortable about the economy because he's been around. But if you knock lightly on that facade, it just falls over, and behind him are like a half dozen Gen Z wokesters who together couldn't possess the wisdom of a Mento.
Who wrote a 16-cent savings tweet last 4th of July on your hot dogs.
Yeah, well, here's the problem. Joe Biden doesn't know what he's talking about. And when you've got someone like Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, anyone who's a capitalist, anyone who has a small store, you know what? If people, I think, want to believe him, but we're going in such a bad direction that you can't believe him. The guy doesn't believe in capitalism, Jesse. You're right. He just doesn't. He's like, I'm going to tell you, stop gouging those American people with your over expensive gas. The truth is, if there's gouging, bring out a prosecutor. Prove your case.
Good point.
Bring in the Justice Department. See, put someone in front of the American people and say, this is what a gouger looks like. Or else be quiet.
Yeah. Harold, sounds like you may agree with the space cadet Jeff Bezos a little bit based on your A-block comments.
Yeah. I'm on record agreeing with I don't know if I agree with everything he said, but I do agree that this is not a serious look at what's happening in our global oil markets. The truth of the matter is we need to figure out how to make the Europeans less dependent on natural gas from Russia. And stuff like this just riles up the political classes and ways, and we don't end up talking about it. Everybody just goes to their talking points. We can never get to a green energy platform if Russia takes Ukraine. Russia will take Ukraine or will continue to advance if we don't provide the Europeans with alternative energy products. We're not ready with wind and solar and all the things that I hope we get to someday. We have to understand that natural gas and fossil fuels will remain a part of our energy mix, and we have to get to it as opposed to some of the kind of childish things that tweet suggested.
Yeah, let's restart Keystone and allow people to drill in Alaska. Hey, novel idea. The Fastest is up next, featuring an animal rights activist protester getting body slammed, you won't believe it, by hot dog king Joey Chestnut. Whiskey in your glass.
Welcome back. Time for The Fastest. First up, never mess with the undisputed hot dog eating king. Oh, yeah. Joey Chestnut heroically choking out an animal rights protester who tried to disrupt the Nathan's 4th of July hot dog eating contest. Chestnut, who was on crutches, wow, ended up winning after scarfing down 63 dogs. Kaylee, it would have been even better if he just started eating the protester.
It would have been even better. I do prefer the naked bike riding climate protesters.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Especially the good looking ones. I always find them. They influence the way I think. Jesse, he made 10 grand that day just for one day's work. So he could pretty much retire the rest of the year.
Not in the Biden economy, Greg. 10 grand only gets you so far. I like now when you have a protester that rushes the field.
anybody can just assault them. Have you seen this in football and baseball? Players or other fans, not police officers, can just run up, tackle, choke hold. This is making me excited.
Well, Smithfield owns, I guess, Nathan's. Is that the whole point of this? See, I'm learning from this protester, Harold. It has changed the way I look at hot dog eating contests, which I find revolting.
So if you think about it, I think this thing plays on ESPN, right?
Yes.
So the guy doing this protest, first, he shouldn't have done it there, but ESPN must get a big audience for this, and he figured this is the best way to do it. But we know one thing. Don't mess with a guy who's eating 63 hot dogs. I mean, he body slammed that thing, 63 hot dogs.
He did it while he was eating and with crutches, Judge. Yeah. I mean, I'm not crazy about this whole competition, but I got to give him respect for that.
I mean, first of all, I want to know how he isn't throwing up as he's fighting with this guy.
Imagine if he'd only had 30 of the hot dogs. He could have really hurt
the guy. Listen, this is how he makes his living. He eats a lot of hot dogs. So look at him take that guy down.
I wonder if they must do the research after this. Does Nathan see a bump in hot dogs, or does it go down because everybody's so disgusted?
So that protester, did he get any cred from this?
I have no idea. The Darth Vader mask didn't even fit his face.
We're talking about it.
Because he ate too much.
Exactly. Exactly. That's true.
He ate too many hot dogs on his way.
Well, I think we can safely say we learned nothing.
Except Joey won by 20 hot dogs.
I want to do the next one about the chicken.
The chicken, we ran out of time.
We don't have time.
Save the chicken for tomorrow. We'll heat it up in the oven. All right, I'm going to bed. Night.
Oh, stop it.
You stop it.
All right, one more thing, Greg.
All right, tonight, another great show. We got Tyrus's back, Kat, Jeff Dye, great comedian, Emily Campagna. Who's that? Who knows? Let's do this. Greg's friends and family, 4th of July. You know, I don't like to post a lot of pictures of the holidays because I always feel like people who do that are grandstanding cliche jerks. But I'm going to do it today. So here's some pictures. Here's me and my bros hanging out. We love doing this. We'll spend hours just holding the flag up in our garage. Let's go to the barbecue. This is great. I guess you don't know that my wife is black. She's on the left. And my mistress is Hawaiian. She's on my left. We're just hanging out there. She doesn't mind. Totally open marriage. Everything's cool. This is me playing a little cornhole with a stranger's kid. Just wandered into the property. I don't know what happened after that, but she went missing. And then there's me just hanging out on the beach last minute. Yeah, so that was my thanks. That was my 4th of July.
Phone that wasn't there with your wife and your mistress?
Yes, they get along famously.
They know about each other.
Wow, you are just very evolved, Greg. I respect that.
Yeah. We're polyamorous.
I love that you're so open.
You're very amorous, that's for sure. My 4th of July, not the same.
Do you have pictures?
I do. I have some video and pictures. We lit off some legal fireworks there. The family loved it. We all had a great time. We had Harry Paytas on the fuse for me, so I didn't lose a hand like Jason Pierre-Paul. And my daughter loved it. My other daughter was a little scared. There's Harry. No one got hurt, and it was very, very safe. So
not professionally shot by a photographer?
We did not professionally shoot this one, unfortunately. It's a great idea for next year, though.
Yeah.
Can I use the one that shot your polyamorous barbecue?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Tonight we have Johnny on the stick. He's interviewing people on the beach about July 4th. This is one of the saddest things you'll ever see. Also tonight we have an update on Nancy Pelosi's Italian vacation. It's taken a strange turn. Also, we spoke to some gas station owners, and we have a person who identifies as a mermaid tonight at 7.
You got Deucey?
Deucey. Judge, you're up.
You're all right. So tonight I'm hosting Hannity, and we've got a great lineup. We've got Kellyanne Conway and Laura Trump and Tulsi Gabbard and a whole bunch of other great guests. So be sure to watch Hannity tonight at 9 Eastern. But I want you to think about this. Jealousy is not limited to humans. Even dogs can't handle competition. Take a look.
You're a good girl. Good bestie. Hey, Sadie!
So after watching his owner pet a stuffed animal for about 1 second too many, the agitated golden retriever rips the stuffed animal away from his owner in a jealous rage. Even though he isn't a great sharer, he is still very adorable. So I hope you enjoy that. I thought it was hysterical.
Yeah, they don't share like Greg's women, do they?
Yeah, or like Greg.
Harold.
Happy 4th again. The San Jose Sharks put the end to an inglorious tradition. They have the first black GM in all of the NHL, a guy named Mike Greer, was named. Congratulations to him. He played 14 seasons in the NHL for the Buffalo Sabres, played for the Edmonton Oilers, played for the Washington Caps, worked for the Rangers, was an assistant coach for the New Jersey Devils. He's got his work cut out for him here, though. They've not, 3 years they hadn't been there at the playoffs, so good luck to him. Congrats, dude.
That's good great. Luck. That's did you great. Say dude?
I did.
All right. Yep. Harold Ford Jr., everybody.
Yep.
Kaylee?
So I'm going to have to send you the audio of this, Greg, but I brought my daughter to work. She discovered the Greg Gutfeld parts and like basically stage work for your show. She discovered the monkey. She loved it. Then she found this dismembered arm that she was very scared by. She actually screamed. Then she said, hi, Greg, and then she wanted to take it home. So thank you for letting me teach my daughter.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen to The 5 ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.